The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And Owen Sheehan is here from Off the Ball. I was just happening to look at Conor McKeown writing in the Irish Independent, in Letterkenny yesterday, pigs flew overhead. It's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an astonishing result yesterday. And there's so much lore almost coming out of the game immediately. Conor Laverty, the Down manager, gave this remarkable interview to the assembled press after the game where he was asked about the outside noise and people writing his team off.
Great.
Did he read into this? And he was like, no, you can't really lean on that. And then he revealed that his screensaver for the last 3 weeks had been a typo on an RTE graphic, which had said that on May the 3rd, it would be Donegal versus Armagh / Tyrone.
Yeah.
Instead of Donegal / Down versus Armagh / Tyrone. So he took that personally, to use the words of Michael Jordan. And I'm not sure, was it just some sort of self-motivation that he showed to his players well in advance?
No, he did. He showed it to them right at the end, because I was looking at this, because it just seemed like a mad thing to have as your motivator. But
yeah,
he kept it from them, but then showed them like right at the very
right
end.
Right before.
Yeah. Just like, believe, you know, you've got to see what I see. And yeah, incredible. Well, look, whatever, it worked.
Yeah, like I think there is a lot to be said for that sort of motivation. And we see that, you know, when it gets to the championship and it gets to these provincial games, the intensity and the quality of football and the stakes, that they all just feel infinitely higher than if these two same teams met in the league. And that's probably more of a point about the hurling, but it pertains to the football as well. And it just feels that everybody is just highly charged when it comes to particularly their first game in the championship. And maybe for Donegal, they had that high after hammering Kerry in the National League final at the start of the month or at the end of March. And maybe it's hard to get back up again for that second game afterwards. And that motivation piece is a fascinating one. There's now a real collection of teams who've had brilliant National League final performances and have fallen flat in their face in the province. So Mayo have been guilty of this. Last time they won the National League, they would have been beaten by Roscommon in their first day out in Connacht. Derry, famously 2 years ago, had that big win against Dublin in the National League final, were hockeyed by Donegal in the first round of the Ulster Championship. And something similar has just happened to Donegal here as well. I think that's a big part, their motivation in terms of getting up for that league final, mm-hmm. as much as Down's motivation of being written off was.
Okay, so then you mentioned Mayo there. Mayo was common. That was another big shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, the magnitude to which Mayo were beaten was a big shock. Like Mayo and Castlebar, it's actually a strange enough relationship they have with the ground. Like, for example, if you take their rivalry with Galway, the away team tends to win that matchup at the moment. But when it comes to Roscommon, you'd expect Roscommon to come to McHale Park and for Mayo to get the job done against them, particularly because they were the better team in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Colby McDonald's, the man we keep talking about, was brilliant in that first half. Even in the second half, he has this brilliant score where he dummy solos twice in the one move before this brilliant outside of the right boot effort that goes between the sticks. But the best forward on the pitch yesterday was Diarmaid Murtagh, and he's arguably one of the best forwards in Ireland at the moment. His goal in the first half was just a key moment that kept Roscommon in touch, and nobody could have seen the second half coming, where they just blew Mayo out of the water. And Murtagh just really had the run of the place. He scored 110 off 11 shots. I know that Cora Staunton was on TV yesterday. He was very critical of Andy Moran's decision to put Jack Coyne, the captain, on him and leave him on him for so long in that game. So Mayo have a lot of soul searching to do at this point, if there was a glaring error made in terms of their man marking yesterday, to be hammered by Roscommon. But all due respect to Roscommon, that's not an All-Ireland credential type performance.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a big turnaround in the next 4
Although
weeks.
Although, do your soul searching now. It's better to be doing it at this stage than in a few months, right?
I agree completely. So you've got Mayo, you've got Donegal, you've got Tyrone, you've got Meath, you've got one of Louth, Dublin, who are now going to be in that away team pot in the first round of the All-Ireland Championship. They're all not going to lose that first round. There's mm-hmm. going to be a few winners in that group, and it depends who manages to cultivate a greater sense of the siege mentality once again, because now all those 5 teams can say they all wrote us off after our provincial defeats, and they will have the last laugh, a couple of those teams, I suggest.
And then in the hurling, like probably a week ago, you would have said, well, Limerick has a bit of an edge over everybody else. And then we saw what happened with Cork yesterday. The rebuild continues.
I think that they would have won that game if Keane Lynch doesn't get himself sent off. I think it was a wild thing for him to do, given that he hasn't got to the very top of the pile by being a silly hurler. He has been sensible. He can make the best decisions in a split second on the hurling pitch. So for him to make such a poor decision in that instant and to swing back twice on a Cork player is just so unbecoming of his intelligence. Like, I hate to use that phrase, you know, he's not that type of player or whatever, but genuinely, when it comes to the sort of player that he is on the pitch, he's smart. He knows how to play these situations. He has been riled up. So I don't know what happened.
Was there anything said about it afterwards? Any sort of an explanation? Or
I don't think so. I think sometimes these things are hard to explain. Like, again, when you go from league to championship, everything just feels a little bit more heated, a little bit more charged. You go into Parky Cueve, the crowd are on your back, and maybe the blood is up. They were 2 points down, I think, when he lashes out in that instance, and I think they end up losing the game by 2 points. So they actually managed to draw the rest of the game with 14 men, which would suggest that they had enough in the tank to actually go and win that game. So it was an incredible end game to the whole clash between them, that sort of stoppage for the clash between the two players, and then the penalty with Dermot Burns coming up, and the Cork goalkeeper Pat Collins making a dog's dinner really of the penalty and this kind of tumbling into the back of his net. You kind of thought it would have been a famous Limerick win from then, but Cork deserve huge credit for actually pulling the win out of the fire after that. Limerick are only one game down at this point. I wouldn't worry too much about them, but their next fixture, it's another away game for them, and they have to go to Clare next weekend. If Cork versus Limerick hasn't delivered the best hurling over the last 5, 6, 7 years, then Clare Limerick has in Munster.
Okay, let's move to the women's Six Nations. 26-7 was the loss to France in the Stade de France. Aoife Wafer saying that she takes every loss personally. She's vowed that the team bounce back. And there are some really great indications about this team over that campaign, right?
There is, but unfortunately we've been speaking about those great indications for the last 2-3 campaigns at this point. So now the conversation has to move on. And the reality is that this was the defining fixture for Ireland in this year's Six Nations.
You're a tough one.
But if they're not saying the same thing within the camp, then they're going in the wrong direction. That's the...
I'm sure they are though, right? I'm sure they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Like, I'd be very surprised if they weren't. But like, in 12 months' time, if we're still doing this slot, I would be saying the exact same thing to you, Claire. I'm not sure who's more likely to get the boot first. We'd be saying France are coming to Ireland, and they absolutely have to win this game. So unfortunately, that's how this team gets judged. It's unfortunate in a way that France were the team they had to beat in the knockout game last year in the World Cup, and they lost that game, and there was the biting incident, and these two teams straight up do not like each other. This is the defining rivalry now for Ireland in this. It's kind of like the Mayo footballers in trying to beat Dublin in the 2010s. It's like that Tipperary hurling team at the end of the 2000s trying to beat Kilkenny. This is now the team that Ireland need to take down. They are going to be defined by this France team because they're not good enough to beat England, but they are good enough to beat France.
Mm-hmm. And so France is their bête noire.
Their bête noire, and I don't think they did themselves justice on the scoreline at the weekend. Now, Ireland did have 3 tries ruled out. You couldn't say any of them were unfairly ruled out, but there was maybe a little bit of bad luck, like the Fiona Chute situation when she got held up on the try line after 22 minutes. It was kind of like Jordi Barrett holding up Ronan Kelleher in the 2023 World Cup quarterfinal. Just a really heartbreaking moment when you see a player held up like that. But I still think France would have had enough in the tank in the second half. There was also that guard of honour, the sort of appreciation from the French fans towards the players, and all the French players were holding hands along the length of the pitch after the game, and it kind of encroached in the Ireland team huddle afterwards. I think they were happy enough to rub salt in the Irish wounds. I think it goes both ways here. Uh-huh. I think France like Ireland.
The next meetup will be a good one to watch. Owen, thanks so much. I'll see you on Friday. If we're both still here on Friday, I'll see you then. We're heading towards news.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.